Hey peeps, what's going on? It's Josh. I am still getting over a flu that I have. So, you'll have to excuse my voice. I think it probably sounds pretty rough. But, Maggie has gone to bed. Actually, I sent her to bed because it's late, and why should she be awake just because I am? And then I stopped and, got some hot water to make some of my mint. I love peppermint tea. And I just sweeten it with a little bit of stevia. And so I stopped to get some hot water. And I got back in the truck and I thought, you know, Maggie's in bed. The boys are sleeping. There's no reason that I couldn't record a podcast this evening before I get to my destination. Right now I'm driving through Henrietta, Texas. And by the time you hear this, I will no longer be here. So, that's fine to say. I want to cover a couple of different things. And the first one is, I recorded a pod on the topic of gratitude the other day, and it did not save, and it was a good hour-long pod, and that was frustrating to me, because I, now, when I redo it, it's gonna sound different and rehearsed, and I don't like that. I like podcasts that are very much stream of consciousness, or almost like vlogish in essence, or in nature. I don't like too much. I don't like podcasts that sound scripted. So I'm kind of cleansing my palate with this one. Now this pod is well. Initially, I wanted to talk about Marvin and Peter, our dogs, and I wanted it to be kind of like dog talk, or, you know, something like that. But then I started thinking, well, actually, there's a huge connection between just about all of the things in my life. There's a huge connection between mine and Maggie's weight loss journey and trucking and my transitioning and the dogs and my family and the notes from the universe. And there's a huge connecting common denominator for me. I think that's what you call it. And that's balance. And, you know, peeps, thank you, Cecil. It's not a pod unless Cecil says hello. how do I explain it? Well, I guess I can kind of say that I'm not real good at balance, and I never really have been. But I put a lot of effort into it. And, oh, and also writing. That's another thing that, another aspect of my life that requires balance that I don't have. Currently, I have two excellent ideas for books, and I'm not writing them yet. And it's just at the bottom of it all is I don't know if you guys have ever felt this way. Way station ahead. Thank you, Bonnie. Bonnie, how are you tonight? No? She only wants to talk when you, like, don't want her to. And then you go and ask her a nice question and she's like, I don't want to talk to you. Sounds like every girl that I crushed on in high school. But, so, I don't know if you guys have ever felt this way, but, to me, feel like there's, let's say, maybe I'm trying to pick a round number. 10 is too few and 1,000 is too many, so let's go with 100. There's like 100 balls in my life. And they're all kind of needing to be juggled. I'm not very good at juggling, peeps. So, how do you get better at something, right? You practice. You try. You put effort in. That's usually what creates brilliance. Well, arguably, my brother Richard says that obsession creates brilliance. And I agree. But I also think that at the base of it, that's the motivator for the effort that you put in. So I'm not trying to negate his point by saying this, but maybe to add another step to that flow chart. Are you obsessed? Yes. Do you put the effort in? Yes. Or no. And then that takes you along two incredibly different paths. And the original reason I wanted to record this, so I guess you could say in my career of posting YouTube videos, and I say career because I don't know what else to call it, but in the time that I've been posting YouTube videos, I've used them for entertainment. I've used them to process things in a cathartic way. I've used them to connect with people. I've used them to do my best to try and inspire others. Not because I think I'm so awesome that I'll make a video and it'll change your life. It's not like that. I really don't think that much of myself, I promise you. You know, I think at the bottom of it all, I think we all want to feel heard, and we all want to feel like we have the potential to make a difference. And I remember years ago, and my granddaddy is not the first person to tell this story. He didn't make it up, and he certainly, you know, this has been a story for many years. He simply told me this story at one point. About the little boy on the beach. He's scurrying up and down and grabbing starfish and throwing them as far as he can into the ocean. And an older gentleman comes up and he says, "Son, what are you doing? Why though? And the little boy is like, "Because if they're in the water, they're not going to die. And if they're on the beach, they'll die." And the older gentleman's like, "You can't possibly really make a difference. Look at all of the starfish. Yeah, all of the starfish out here." I'm doubting myself as to whether or not they're called starfish now. I'm like 87. No, 89. I'm like 89% certain that they're called starfish. The older gentleman says, "You can't possibly make a difference. It's just, there's too many of them. Why even bother? You can't make a difference. What difference does it make?" And the little boy is still continuing to run and scurry and throw them back in. And after a moment, the older gentleman doesn't think that the boy is going to respond. But then the boy finally turns, and with a starfish in his hand, he looks into the older gentleman's eyes, and then he throws the fish back into the ocean. And then he looks at the gentleman, and he says, "Made a difference to that one." And I will never forget my granddaddy telling me that story. And again, even at the time, he said, "No, I didn't make this up." Man, I'm probably not going to tell it the best it's ever been told. But if you're smart, and I know you are, you'll take something from it. And he didn't tell me the moral of it. He just let me think on it. But, in the years to come, or in the years since you told me that story, in the years to come, that would be the future. Since he told me that story, I've thought of it often. And I have you know, peeps, I've not always been a very good person. There have been times in my life where I've been dumb and I've been rude and I've done just bad things. Although I don't consider myself inherently bad. I consider myself someone who tries to be a good person. And I think that matters. I think your intent matters. And, I try and make things, so I guess you could say I try to cognitively weave good intentions into my belief systems. And so for me, the starfish story, when I figured it out, and it took me a little bit of time to really figure it out because I was young when he told me this story. I mean, I wasn't even 6 years old yet. But I remember it. I don't know how I remember it when I have, like, the worst memory of ever. I'm like a fainting sheep. You scare me, I pass out, I wake up, I don't even know where I am. It's not funny, but it is funny. If you look up videos of fainting sheep on YouTube, it's not funny, but it is. Speaking of funny videos of people getting scared, Ellen got Taylor Swift really good once in a bathroom. That sounds dirty. She frightened her in a bathroom, and like Taylor Swift like fell to the ground. She was that startled, and it reminded me of a fainting sheep, and I laughed so hard I cried and then almost peed my pants. Almost peed my pants. I did pee my pants, but it could have happened. It was that funny to me. I digress. So, the starfish. Story became woven into my belief systems. And I had to make a bridge between the two. So, back to the balls. We've got 100 of these balls. I picture them as red. I don't know why. I just do. But we've got 100 different balls that need juggling. And some of them don't need to be touched all that often. I don't know why, but gravity's different for those. I don't know. But every ball needs its own level of attention. Every ball needs to be tossed up again once in a while. And when you've got so many balls, it's really, for me, in my opinion, it's stressful to try and figure out how to throw each individual ball back up into the air at the right arc, at the right time, with the right, to throw it just hard enough, but not too hard. Because you want it to come back down so you can catch it. And out of these 100 balls, inevitably, some are going to drop. And that's probably the nature of balance, is that you can't do everything. And that's very difficult for me. Arguably, you can't do anything if you're trying to do everything. That's an opinion. I'm not stating that like that, you know, like that's fact. I'm not trying to anyway. But it's really, for me, it's, and I guess maybe this is where my anxiety is born. That when there's so much going on in my life, it's almost paralyzing at times to try and figure out, well, okay, so on any given day when I'm working, I'm driving the truck from, I mean, some days I don't drive the truck for that many hours, but some days I drive for 10, almost 11 hours. And then I'm off for 10 hours. Now, usually I'm on duty for somewhere between 12 to 14 hours in the course of, you know, within that time I drive my 9 or my 10 or 11 hours. And the reason for the difference, like, you don't just sit in the seat and drive. Because, I mean, well, you could, but you've got bathroom breaks. You've got to stop and do your 30-minute break. You've got, the dogs need to go out. You know, we have a toilet on the truck. That needs to be emptied. We need to fuel. We need to do, I don't know. We need to obtain food. Go shopping when we can get to a Walmart. So that's what the that would be the difference is. That you might, you know, have a couple of hours worth of bathroom breaks and then your 30-minute break. And that's kind of normal. That's okay. It's not a bad thing. So during that time of being on duty, somewhere from 12 to 14 hours, I'm doing all of the work things, and I'm sometimes recording podcasts, and I'm sometimes touching base with my family and friends on the phone, and I'm listening to podcasts and music and books. So I get those things usually taken care of when I'm driving. And by reading books, I mean listening to audiobooks. The other day I saw a driver, he passed me, and he had some type of a tablet on his steering wheel, and literally looked like he was reading as he was passing me. I can't say for certain what was happening in his truck, but it didn't look good. And I personally was scared for my life. So I slowed down, got out of his way, backed out of it, let him pass. You know, that's fine. I want to say, you know, no judgments, or I'm not judging, but I totally was. So, I don't know. But no one's perfect. I don't think I'm perfect either. I just, you know, I'm just saying. So, I do those things during my work hours, and I'm doing an air quote when I say work hours, because, yeah. So then once you finish your 14-hour clock, or once you get to your destination and you stop driving, you get 10 hours off. And I mean 10 hours. And I mean sometimes the company is calling you as soon as you hit 10 hours. Thank you, Bonnie. Sometimes they're calling as soon as you hit 10 hours to see if you're going to get rolling. That's not a complaint. That's helpful sometimes. But sometimes it feels a bit stressful. I think that's just an industry thing, though, in my opinion. So, during that 10-hour break, I have to sleep, and right now, I require about 8 hours of sleep. That's my minimum requirement right now, to be able to be recharged, good to go, ready to drive, and ready to work for 14 hours. Now, it just occurred to me that I want to make sure that you guys don't think that I feel like I deserve sympathy because I work 14-hour shifts. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I do feel is that I'm not used to working such long hours, and it, you know, as I'm wrapping up my first year of trucking, it was an adjustment, and some days it's still hard to get all of the things done within, you know, the hours that I'm working with. Because once the truck stops, I need to be thinking about winding down and getting myself prepared to sleep. Now, usually, I'm a person that can sleep whenever. But since I've started trucking, I guess you could say that it's I don't know, it's a commitment and a responsibility that I take incredibly seriously. And so sometimes when I stop driving for the day or the evening or the afternoon or whatever, or the night, I'll stop driving and I'll be replaying things in my head. Did I do the right thing here? Did I forget something? Did I do everything I could to keep myself, my family, and everyone around us safe? There's a lot of thinking that goes into me winding down after I finish driving. And I'd say on average it takes about a half an hour. So after that, and during that time I'm usually eating and resetting and just kind of getting, like, doing my brain dump, you know? That leaves us with 9.5 hours, 8 of which I sleep. And then the dogs need time. They deserve to get out of this truck for a little bit of time each day. And they need to go on either side of me sleeping. So I take them, typically, I take them out at night, and then I take them out in the morning, unless I'm only driving for a little while, and I know that I'll be able to take them out at our destination. And then I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I take them out, make sure that they've gone to the bathroom, grab some food, and I'm ready to roll after doing my pre-trip. But the pre-trip is not part of the 10 hours off, so I don't include it there. That's part of my working hours, as it should be. So, I'm not saying any of this to sound like a whiny whinerson from Whinyville, Wintucky. I'm saying this to, it's very strange, Cecil. I'm within the lines. At any rate, I don't say this to sound like a baby about it. This is what I signed up for, and this is an industry thing. It's not a Jim Palmer thing, and it's not even necessarily a bad thing. It's just, so I spent over a decade doing what I love most, working with animals, particularly dogs, and I got really good at that. Pet sitting and behavior counseling, I got really good at it. and I knew what to expect from my day. And then I uprooted my life, not once, but twice. And it required me to start over. And so, hence, you know, the career change. If you'd asked me if I could change going into trucking, I would tell you no. Because in a way, it's a new challenge, and it is, and has been, and will continue to be a challenge. Any trucker that tells you that they weren't challenged, or that it was easy, they're either lying, or they are God's gift. I don't know. But it's definitely been a challenge. And I came from being an expert in my field to knowing nothing. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. I mean, I knew nothing. So, there wasn't balance there. When I was a pet sitter and a behavior counselor, I had balance. I was writing. I was working. And I won't say that I had my eating in balance, because I did. But I had some balance. Enough to know what it looks like when you get your shit together and you finally get all the balls up in the air and you're only minimally dropping them, and even when you do drop them, it's only for a short while before you can arrange yourself to be able to pick them up and throw them back into rotation. Because the balls that drop to the ground aren't lost forever. They just simply need you to figure out a way to be able to scoop them up and toss them back up there. Now, there has to be something added here, and that's my personality. And it's not a good thing. It's not a thing that I'm glad about. But the way that my personality is, I feel like if you're going to do something, you should do it right, do it well, or don't do it. And that's not good, peeps. Don't be like Josh. Did I just use third person to describe myself? I did not even mean to. Don't be like me. Because when you try to do things so completely, number one, I feel like procrastination is born from that personality trait. And I feel like the anxiety of starting something knowing that you have to do it perfectly or as close as possible to perfect, because nothing's ever perfect, which is why I make a point of saying that. It's daunting. It's daunting. It's scary. And you feel like you might fail. And I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be a fuck up. I want to do things well. I want things to come easily to me. I want to feel like I'm capable. And I want to feel like I'm accomplished. But that's not real life. That's the fairy tale. That's the rom-com. I think that there are people that make shit look easy. And that's fine. That's great for them. I don't knock anyone else's hustle. But I do feel like I've had to remind myself, even recently, I've had to remind myself, like, don't compare your whole life to their highlight reel. Just because somebody makes something look easy doesn't mean that it was easy for them. doesn't even mean that they're trying to make it look easy. Although, who doesn't want to make something look easy? I feel like that's a human thing. But, there's another aspect of balance. Seeing people complexly. Balance in relationships. Having the balance of knowing that someone has amazing qualities and then they have flaws. And loving them regardless of either. Or trying to accept them at the very least. If not love, then acceptance. And that's hard. It's way harder than it sounds, in my opinion. So I've had this lifelong struggle with balance. Within my own personality, with my eating, with so many different things. The only thing that I really haven't had a problem with balance with has been alcohol and drugs. Because I just don't care about those things. But food? That's my drug of choice, unfortunately. Food, I have a problem with. So what do you do when that's the case? Well, shit, I don't know, peeps. I'm still not there yet. But you have moments where you toss one of those red balls up into the air, right? And it has the perfect arc. And it goes the perfect distance. And you know that in the next rotation, that ball is not going to hit the ground. Because you're going to be able to catch it and toss it back up. But inevitably, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but at some point, that red ball is going to come precariously close to the ground, if not touch it. And that's difficult. But at the base of it, not wanting any of the balls to drop to the ground is its own problem with, you know, with balance, I would think. Not balance in the sense of standing on your feet, upright balance. But balance in the sense of if you're not failing, are you really taking enough risks? Now, I don't mean, so instantly my mind's like, nope, failure's bad. Failure's bad because failure and it's not secure and it's not safe and it's just bad and it's not good. But that's not always true. Sometimes failure shows you where you need to improve. Sometimes Sometimes failure shows you where you need to loosen your grip a little. For example, I am pretty afraid of the possibility of Marvin or Peter getting loose and getting lost. So I prefer to be the ones to take them outside. Not because I think that Maggie isn't capable, because I know she is. It's that imbalance that I struggle with. Feeling like if I don't hold on so tight to everything, I'm going to drop everything. But I want to say this might be one of Aesop's fables, but I can't remember. There's a raccoon, and you know how they love shiny shit? Well, he sticks his arm through this hole in a tree trunk because he sees something shiny in there. And he grabs the shiny thing, and he tries to pull his arm back out, and it's stuck. But he can't let go of the shiny thing. So he sits there, hand stuck in this tree trunk, hungry, tired. But he can't let go of that shiny thing, because if he drops that shiny thing, his world will surely come to a crashing, screeching halt. So, I'm basically the raccoon here. Did you think I was going to be the shiny thing? No. I'm the raccoon. I hold on, and I try so hard to hold on to everything, because if I don't, surely, inevitably, my world is going to come to a crashing, screeching halt. No, it's not, Josh. It's not. It's not. Peeps. The reality is, when I let go, and it's scary to let go, but when I let go, and I ask or even just allow Maggie to take the boys, that's an extra 30 minutes of my 10-hour break that I could potentially use for something else. Now, there's the other side that I love spending time with the boys outside. But I also love my sanity. And I also know that Maggie is completely capable of keeping them safe. And she's proven this time and time again. And again, if we touch back on balance within relationships. So, you've got this best friend, which Maggie is my best friend. You've got this best friend, and yet you exhibit expressions or behaviors that show that you don't fully trust them. Now, you could tell them until you're blue in the face, hey, I really trust you. But then you don't let them walk the dogs, which tells them you don't trust them. I still can't stop myself from saying, be careful. But asking her or allowing her to take the boys outside, that is my way of striving for balance within that relationship. And all you can really do is try. Again, fully accepting that there is no such thing as perfection. That's not a thing. So sometimes you have to let other people do things that you are not able to, and that's okay. It's not about shirking responsibilities. It's about trying to find a balance. Leaning on people but not using them. Loving people but not smothering them. Trying to protect people but not to the point of doing damage to them because you're holding them so tightly. It's hard for me. I struggle with this. And I don't know, maybe some of you do too. And yeah, there's a little bit of ego in it. There's a little bit of ego. I mean, because I want to be the person who gets it all done. And who can be good at some things. I don't expect to be good at everything, because I'm not. I know I'm not. But it really sucks when you're not good at something. But balance, once again, comes into play here. Balance of not trying to be good at everything, but looking at the things that you are good at and trying to be the best that you can be in those areas. And because of your focused concentration, maybe you're a little better at some things than you would have been if you tried to be good at everything. For example, when I became a behavior counselor and I knew that I was actually had the aptitude and I had the capability to be really good at that. Well, then I started giving it concentrated effort. Because why not try to be really good at it and give it a go? And I found success that way. And that was a really good thing. Just like I'm trying to do with trucking. And I'm not. Trucking did not come easy for me. It wasn't like, oh, I get this. No. I was difficult to teach. I had a very difficult time learning certain things. I was terrified. I was terrified of failure. Then I was terrified of success. I'm an equal opportunist when it comes to fear. Just saying. And I still don't have that balance. I still just don't. I'm still trying to figure it out. At 37 years old, peeps, I still have a hard time controlling my spending when it comes to certain areas of our budget. And I think that's a pretty common thing for people to experience. I still have a hard time getting myself outside to take the dogs for a proper walk. Knowing that psychologically they'll be happier if I do that. I'll spend less on their treats and their toys because I'll feel less guilt. And that relieved guilt will enable me to put that energy towards other things. But I'll be damned if I can get myself outside to, like, truly give them a proper walk every single day. I suck at balance. Now, acknowledging that is not me giving myself license to just not care and not try. Not at all. It's merely my way of trying to accept that I've still got a lot to learn. I've still got a lot of stuff to figure out. And to me, it's a little scary to think, wow, I'm closer to 40 than I am to 30. And I'm still learning so much. Oddly enough, I had an appointment with my doctor, the one who prescribes me hormones, and I've been on testosterone for 3 injections now, which is almost 3 weeks. Almost. And I got on the phone with the doctor, and they said, blood work looks good. I'm really happy with where you are right now. And I thought, holy crap. Seriously? That's rad. And I had to force myself to just be content with that for a little while. No, don't immediately start stressing about the next thing. Don't immediately start thinking about the next thing. Just be in this moment and be happy and grateful that your results came back good. And so I did. I was happy. I still am. I'm glad that everything's going good and that things are basically the way that they should be. Makes me feel good. Makes me hopeful. And maybe my body knows something that I don't. I've recently lost 10 pounds. I don't know, it's weird. Sometimes I'm able to find overall balance by finding balance in one or two areas first, and then the rest kind of fall into place a little bit. Sometimes, but sometimes not. But I'm starting to feel hopeful. And they don't teach you balance. Like, that's not a class in school. Heck, they don't even teach you how to balance your checkbook. So balance is not something that is taught in a classroom. I totally believe that balance is something that you have to cultivate yourself. And it comes from a lot of processing and a lot of acceptance, self-acceptance, self-encouragement, self-motivation. So I don't know. These are my thoughts. But it all started with me wanting to talk about how I'm not walking the dogs like I'm supposed to, because by the end of a shift, XYZ things happen. But I do feel hopeful. I do feel like achieving balance and trying my best to keep most of the balls in rotation, being aware when something slips and being able to kind of snatch that ball up and toss it back up. I feel hopeful that these things are within my grasp. I feel hopeful that I can find a way to make all of it work. And trucking has been an ultimate challenge with respects to that, but a worthwhile one. And one that I chose. And it's okay to have a hard time with something. And to struggle with something. That's okay. It's completely okay. Or at least I hope so. Scary. but worthwhile. Scary to see those balls drop down onto the ground. Hard to trust. Hard to trust myself, let alone anyone else. Because when you have a hard time finding balance, then you stop trusting yourself to find balance. And if you don't trust yourself to find balance, can you really trust yourself about anything else? I don't know. I've had relationships in the past where things have happened, like cheating, and I didn't see it. And so now, I feel this huge lack of trust in my own instincts and my own gut. But when you don't trust yourself to see what you're seeing, that can read like you don't trust your partner or your spouse. And that's not good, that's really bad. So it's interesting how all of this balance comes into play in all of these different aspects of life. And I would very much like to know what you guys think about it. If you guys struggle with balance, or if you're like, nah man, not me, I'm totally fine. And if so, do you have any tips? Because I feel like I sure could use some. How incredibly confusing and frustrating to know that you don't know everything that you could or should know. And by should, I'm doing air quotes. How incredibly frustrating to try for balance and to know that it's going to be incredibly hard to achieve, if possible at all. But you know, I believe that we can do it, peeps. And I guess I say we, assuming that any of you ever struggle with balance. I'm not there yet, but I do believe that I can get there. And I do believe that it won't be perfect. But my best will be good enough. And yours will too. Maybe we help each other along the way. Maybe we let others support us, because that's worthwhile. And even though trusting is scary, and even though it's kind of like handing a dagger to someone and asking them not to stab you, even though you've been stabbed before, it's kind of what it feels like. But hopefully, alright buddy, if you could just, there's a truck passing me and he came over towards my lane and I'm like, nope, not today, Satan. Gonna need you to stay in your own lane as you're passing. Believing that you can do it. So, this is where the law of attraction and the notes from the universe come in. And also where my dogs come in. And my relationship with Maggie. And food. Oof. And writing. Writing helps me stay balanced. Because it's an outlet. It's a creative outlet. My dogs help me stay balanced. Because they make me happy. They make me laugh. They're stress relievers. And they make me get out and exercise, which is good for me as well. Food is important for balance, because if you're eating junk food, or if I'm eating junk food, oftentimes my emotions will be out of control, and I'll be lethargic and tired, just not able to function at my best. And if I'm not relying and leaning on Maggie in ways, number one, I'm not getting the help that I need, because I do need her in order to be able to...
Way station ahead.
Thank you, Bonnie. Way station ahead. I do need her in order to be able to... I feel bad for truckers who don't have a Maggie. I would not want to do this job without her. And I'm not trusting her, and that's not good for our relationship. It's not good for me. And then trucking. Balance with this. Balance with this vehicle that I get to operate. And optimizing my time. Time management is huge. That's all about balance. So, all of this makes me kind of feel like I need about 3 different brains to process and figure it all out. And it makes me feel like I need to grip on tighter just to make everything okay. But in reality, it's letting go and using just the lightest touch to toss the balls back up into the air works best. Maybe that's why I wanted to talk about that. That being balance. Maybe I wanted to talk about it because deep down, I know that if I'm talking about it, just like when I talk about the notes from the universe and the law of attraction, if I'm talking about it, I'm usually thinking about it and processing, and that's typically a very good thing for me. Typically very healthy, very appropriate for me to be pondering ways to achieve balance. And the law of attraction absolutely helps with that. And interestingly enough, I usually try to talk about things that, I don't know, peeps, they typically have a pretty bow at the end of it. Well, there's an answer. There's an end result, peeps. There's a happy ending, or there's tips that I have at the end. And I don't have that for this, because I haven't mastered balance yet. I haven't given up. I'm working on it, but I haven't balanced it yet. But then again, all along my timeline, from any given point that I've been posting YouTube videos, I've always thought that the most inspirational people either are or did go through a lot of shit. And they struggled, and it wasn't pretty. And usually, well, I don't know, I feel like usually that garners them more respect. Because, yo, you're inspirational because you went through it, and you had to work really hard at it. And I guess that's why I bring it up. Because deep down, I do like hearing that I've helped, even in the tiniest way, that I've helped someone. I like hearing that I've inspired someone. Because I feel that's a good mission. I love hearing that I made someone smile.
Speed warning.
I'm not speeding. That's not accurate, Bonnie. Anyway. So, here I am making a pod about balance when I haven't achieved it. But the reason for that is because I feel that the growth that comes from self-analyzation like this is a huge deal. I think that it facilitates growth, that it keeps you fresh and it keeps you moving forward. And as exhausting as it is to think so much, it's worthy. It's a worthy endeavor to think about things in a way where you're searching for a solution, even if there maybe isn't a solution to be had. Maybe the solution is I'm trying to do too much stuff. Maybe we're just meant to, you know, focus on things and not try to do everything. I don't know what you guys think. But maybe. Maybe you're meant to ask for help when you can't figure out how to do something. Dad always says that your greatest strength magnified or taken to the extreme is your biggest weakness. And I would like to think that mine is the ability to get shit done. In moderation, when I put my mind to something, I can get shit done. But with too much of a focus on getting things done, I can get a little obsessive. I can get a little, I have to do it all or nothing's going to be right. No ego, you don't. Let go and let pug. And that's hard to do for me. It's a part of my personality I do not love. But I'm working on it. I'm working on me. And maybe you're working on you. And maybe because I'm sitting here, simple guy, flaws and all, sharing it, maybe it'll encourage you to look at how you could try to achieve better balance and things that are contributing to your lack of balance, if you have a lack of balance. Maybe in some way it'll help you. That's the goal. That's my wish, is that I can help others in some small way. And, you know, I gotta circle back to the gratitude, because the one thing that you don't need to have balance in is gratitude. Ideally, have as much gratitude in your heart as you can fit. Don't worry, because you never could have too much gratitude. It's not like brownies. You can have too many brownies, unfortunately. But you can't have too much gratitude. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I get to make this podcast. I'm grateful for the people in my life that I can lean on and that will... that will help me and support me and love me even when I'm batshit crazy. I'm lucky and I'm grateful for those people. Y'all know who you are. And peeps, I'm grateful for you. Because even though sometimes I pod a bunch and sometimes I don't pod, there's no balance there. And for those of you that came over from YouTube, you know that it'll be a while sometimes in between videos. And then sometimes I'll post multiple times in a day. And you deal with it. Because you see, I don't know, I guess you see something in me that is worth dealing with the flaws. And, that is encouraging and I'm grateful. I really hope that this, I don't know, circular conversation has in some way helped you. I hope that wherever you are listening to this, maybe you're in your car, you're on the bus, you're riding your bike, you're walking to school, or you're sitting on your couch because you just got home from work. I hope that you're well, and I hope that you know how awesome you are, and how necessary you are to this world. I mean, this world is lucky to have you, and I mean that. It's not just some empty words from some person that really doesn't care. I mean it. So thank you for being your awesome self. Don't stop. And if you're struggling with balance in your life, and you can't manage to speak to yourself like a friend would, let me speak to you as that friend. Let go. Let others help you if you can. Just try it. Just try it. Embrace failure. That's hard. But I know you can do it. And I know that you will fail in the future. But you know what? I'm going to be proud of you when you do. Because you failed. But you only failed because you really tried. There's no shame in that. There's only pride in having given something your effort, and having tried something.
That's good ahead.
So let that failure fuel you into getting up and trying again, or trying something different. It is not how many times you fall down that matters. It's that you keep getting back up. And you know, what difference could you possibly make in this world? Be it your world of red balls or the greater world of red balls that are all up in the air. What difference could you possibly make? Well, every time you throw that ball up into the air, you made a difference to that ball. So that ball is like a starfish. You threw it back into the ocean. And yeah, it might come back. But you still made a difference. And that's huge. It's huge. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for the work that you put in. I'm proud of you for the work that you keep putting in. I'm proud of you for that difference. We can do this. Me and you. You and I. Whichever one happens to be English. We got this. You are not alone. You are not the only person going through your own unique struggles. Okay, that didn't make sense, but you're going through struggles, but you're not the only person. Even if your struggle's unique in ways, we all know about struggle. We all know about trying to find balance. We all know about that. So you're not alone. This is the part of the pod where I'm going to try and share energy with you. And I hope you accept it. And if you don't, that's okay. So when I send this energy, and I send you this love, you can choose. You can actually choose, yes, I accept. Or no, return to sender. I don't want that crap. Get it out of here. And both are okay. But I want you to know that the energy is here for you. The love is here for you. You guys are so amazing. Whether or not you know it, you are. And whether or not you accept it, I am sending you love, positive energy, hope, smiles, and hugs. And I'm going to end this pod like I end all of the YouTube videos. Thank you for spending a part of your day with me. Even though in this moment you haven't listened to this, I can feel the energy. And I can feel the gratitude in my heart for you having shared a part of your day with me. Much love. Peep out.